This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they are sincerely looking for the truth, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they are arrogant and do not really want to be guided, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. For our own success and our own salvation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, reminds us what is in our best interest for salvation and success, translated as, O believers. O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves. Have taqwa of Allah on His terms and do not die except in a state of submission to Him. If we say, I sincerely want to die upon Islam, then surely we must consistently live upon it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live upon Islam and to die upon Iman. Allahumma ameen. We notice the changes that the Ummah experiences every Ramadan. We notice the changes within ourselves. We notice the fluctuations of faith, of practice, of ibadah, of sacrifice from the first night to this night to the last part of Ramadan, and then the changes that take place afterwards as well. And of course, as we talk about these changes, there are many internal motivations that we all have. And if we were to sit and to think, what are the reasons I'm so motivated to do more in Ramadan? Why am I willing to sacrifice more? Why am I willing to fast with ihsan? Why am I willing to stand for qiyam? Why am I willing to give in charity? And so on and so forth, more than any other time of the year for most people. There are different motivators. Amongst them is the story of Talha radiallahu anhu, very famous story we have heard maybe hundreds of times. Talha radiallahu anhu mentions two men converted to Islam at the same time. So their sins are erased at the same time. And these two men, they go on to live their lives as Muslims. One dies as a shaheed, as a martyr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us shahada in some form in this world and accept our brothers and sisters in Gaza as shuhada. Allahumma ameen. The second man who converted lived for another year and then he died. He wasn't a shaheed. Talha radiallahu anhu has a dream. He's standing in front of the gates of Jannah with these two men, and an angel comes out to take one of them into paradise first, and you know the story. If we were to guess, had we not heard this hadith before, we would guess the first one to enter Jannah for sure must be the shaheed, must be the martyr. Why? Because we know the ranks of the shuhada in Islam. We know the shuhada are in the highest levels of paradise. But that's not what happens. He takes the second man first, the one who died a year later. And then the angel comes out and takes into paradise the shaheed. And then the angel comes out and says to Talha, go back, it's not your time yet, to paraphrase. So Talha wakes up and he's amazed. He starts to share his dream. And the news spreads. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears them talking with amazement. And he says, why are you so amazed? And to paraphrase, they said, Ya Rasulullah, the first one, he ended up working harder. He died as a martyr in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one didn't die as a shaheed. So why was he admitted to paradise first? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, did he not live for another year and Ramadan came around, so he fasted? Did he not pray a number of prayers during that year, meaning he prayed his obligatory prayer for an entire year that he lived past his friend? They said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the difference between them is like the difference between the heaven and the earth. Now this hadith can be misunderstood. This hadith does not belittle shahada, martyrdom, in any way whatsoever. In fact, if you were to look at the commentary of the scholars over the centuries on this narration, they say the man who died a year later, The only understanding we can take from this is that he had a sincere desire to also die as a shaheed, but he wasn't granted that fate. That's not what happened for him. But because of his sincerity and because he lived for one extra year, and in that 1 year, this is where he surpassed his friend. In the 1 year, he fasted Ramadan when it came around and he prayed all of his prayers. Sometimes we belittle or don't realize in the moment just how precious this opportunity is today. Sometimes we don't realize in the moment of being exhausted from fasting or exhausted from other ibadah just how much of a blessing this is. Every single salah that's written for you, written prescribed upon us to pray, and the nawafil you choose to do beyond that, the voluntary prayers, and every Ramadan that comes your way is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we cannot measure. We really cannot measure. And we sometimes in between Ramadan will say, I hope and I pray and I wish I make it to the next Ramadan. Why? So that we can work harder, so we can sacrifice, so we can go all out. We're here in Ramadan, alhamdulillah. We're here. And now this is our opportunity to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our gratitude. When we think about motivators, I want us to kind of have something practical to take, inshallah ta'ala. So I'll share just three principles that will help us, not just in Ramadan, but in terms of our development, in terms of the self-discipline and the motivation that we take during this month. The first principle when it comes to the change that we desire is to have a no-excuse attitude. Sometimes we give ourselves excuses when we shouldn't. Sometimes we are the reason we are not progressing. And in fact, most times it is because of our own excuses. And when we say excuses, we're not talking about valid reasons that something couldn't happen. We're talking about always shifting the blame from myself to everything else, to everyone else, to everything external, rather than saying, I made the mistake, no excuses, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to repent sincerely. The no excuse attitude and this acceptance of responsibility is a part of our faith. And it goes back to the very first human being. It goes back to Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. It goes back to the first humans when Allah reprimanded them. They could have possibly said, oh Allah, the devil tricked us. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا He swore to them. He tricked them, deceived them. They could have shifted the blame. But what did they say instead? قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا They said, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ If you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we will be amongst the losers. In other words, we accept responsibility for our actions. If you don't accept responsibility for your mistakes, you will never grow. If we don't accept responsibility for our sins, we will never repent because we don't think we did anything wrong. The reality of shifting blame to other people is extremely problematic when it comes to reaching one's potential. It applies to all human beings, old and young, men and women. And these are things we should be, of course, teaching and emulating with regards to our children. These are things we should be modeling as well. If you make a mistake, accept that you did something wrong so you can grow from it, so you can change from it. Similarly to how we desire for someone to advise us if we're making a mistake because we'll appreciate it on the day of judgment, rather than regret it and say, I wish someone advised me. I wish I accepted responsibility. Accepting responsibility for our actions is realizing the blessings that we have, is a type of gratitude that, oh Allah, you gave me everything that I have, every faculty I have, every morsel of food, every drink of water, every single blessing that I have, oh Allah, and I'm going to use it wisely and I'm going to be grateful to you by accepting responsibility for all of my choices. And by accepting responsibility, we're able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, with the repentance of Adam and Hawa, their status is elevated even more. And so the one who accepts and then admits and then moves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ambition, with motivation, with azima, the one who comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a lifestyle and not just once or twice, is the person who is safe, is the person whose status is raised. And so as we experience this month of Ramadan and we're seeing what's happening around the world, we say, oh Allah, we are grateful to you for all the food that we have. We are grateful to you for the blessing of safety, the blessing of shelter, the blessing of heat, the blessing of AC, the blessing of this and that, and on and on and on. And as you see this situation, you accept that if you make a mistake, you're going to bring yourself to a position of gratitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people give up at the first sign of discomfort. And they come up with excuses because there's a little bit of pain. But sometimes the pain is your growth. The pain is your development. The pain is you getting to a better place. And it's not every type of pain that is the same, but here a positive type of discomfort, a positive type of sacrifice. What's an example of that? Fasting. Yes, your body is hungry, you're exhausted, but the positive discomfort here brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfills an obligation, raises your status, erases your sins, and leads to the acceptance of one's dua, brings you closer to your Lord. And this is why when people work out, if you started the very first rep and you lifted that dumbbell and now your biceps are hurting and you say, "Ah, this hurts too much, I'm not going to do this," you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to stay exactly where you are. So when someone asked Muhammad Ali, may Allah have mercy on him, rahimahullah, how many sit-ups can you do? He said, "I don't know. I don't start counting until it starts to hurt, because those are the ones that count. I don't start counting until it starts to hurt, because those are the ones that count. That's what makes you a champion." Now this example, of course, can be applied to many other things. The idea of no pain, no gain. You work hard because you're looking for something greater in return. You sacrifice, and by definition, a sacrifice for the sake of Allah. A sacrifice is when you give up something knowing there's something greater in return. And there's no exchange greater than you living your life for the sake of Allah and earning His pleasure. You living for a temporary life and earning an eternal paradise. There's no greater exchange than you giving up some of your sleep and your energy and your food and your wealth for the sake of Allah, knowing what you'll have with Him is unimaginable. ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. As Allah tells us, He has prepared for His righteous servants in paradise what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, and what has not been imagined by any human being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Again, do not give up at the first sign of discomfort, at the first sign of pain, and say, "It's not my fault, it's too difficult." If it's something you can push yourself through for a return that is worth it, then invest in it. Number two, with every act of worship, be mindful, be present. When we look at the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have indeed succeeded. Who are they? You have six characteristics. The very first, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The very first thing Allah tells us about the successful believers, when they pray, they are mindful. They are humbly submissive. They are concentrating on their salah because they are in a conversation with their Lord. Goals are not just numbers. Goals are not just on to-do lists and journals and planners and apps. Habits are not just about the results. It's about the journey itself. The act of worship is in the moment. So don't think I completed my salah. Rather, I'm enjoying my salah. Be mindful in the moment and ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing right now? By fasting, by sacrificing the bodily things, the desires you have, you're earning something much greater spiritually. By putting your head on the ground in sujood, your status is being lifted to the highest states. By making dua, what are you doing? So it's not just about the result. Ask yourself what you're racing to. What is the act of worship you're really invested in? Where is your heart falling in terms of the pathways around you? So you look at the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of when the wife of Al-Aziz tried to seduce him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in two words, فَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. They both raced to the door. They raced to the door. Two people racing for two very different reasons. One is racing because of a sin that she's about to commit or trying to commit. And the other is racing for safety and protection away from the disobedience of Allah. We race. We walk. When we take action, we ask ourselves, are we racing towards Allah or away from Him? وَسَابِقُوا. Allah tells us, race, compete with each other. وَسَارِعُوا. But don't compete and race for the superficial things that do not follow you into the grave. Don't compete and race for the things that many people in the world are doing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about in the Quran. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. In Surah Al-Hadid, there's a very powerful, lengthy verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, know that the reality of this world, the distractions of this world that many people are chasing, it's about amusement, it's about distractions and play, it's about mutual competition. Who can have a better, bigger house? Who can reach a greater type of prestige? Who can get this and that in terms of degrees or job or wealth? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after this ayah, gives us the real race, the ultimate race. Everyone in this world, from the beginning to the end of times, is on this track, racing forward. But do you know what happens as people race forward towards the Akhirah? There's that one path, that one nur towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many people decide in this race, I don't want to be a part of it. I'm coming up with my own race. I'm distracted by the things around me. So they take detours. And the reality is there are a lot of people taking these detours. As you're racing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Let the competitors compete. But what's this referring to? It's referring to the description of paradise. For that reward, let the competitors compete. You have to ask yourself, what distinguishes you from the majority of mankind? As you put in effort, as you sacrifice, you're looking at the long-term pleasure. You're looking at the result that leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that leads you to paradise. And this, of course, is the example that was set by Yusuf alayhi salam. Flee to Allah. Flee away from sin. Don't play with fire on social media, on your devices, with friends, with your environments, at work, at school. Don't play with fire. Find your heart running away from these worldly things and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this in mind, we emphasize, as many people turn to the Quran during this blessed month, make sure you are trying to be as mindful as possible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as a shifa, wa shifa'un lima fi sudur, as a healing for what is in the hearts, as a huda, as a guide when you feel lost, when there are darknesses, deviations, corrupt philosophies and ideologies, and the influence of postmodernism, secularism and liberalism and every other type of deviant ism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the guide that corrects, the thing that uplifts, the thing that heals, the thing that comforts. It is in the Quran that we are seeing those who are facing genocide. They are turning for comfort and motivation, for strength and for resilience, for perseverance, for willpower. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find reassurance, peace, and tranquility. If you cannot read from the Quran, read the transliteration and try to read the basic meaning. Follow a program, a course, a book from beginning to end and commit, not just in this month, but throughout the year. Because many people will start a video series, a class, or a program, but will burn out after a few days or a few weeks. So commit to one entire study of a surah or a chapter or a program and finish it inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a healing and a light for our hearts and our chests and our communities and a blessing for all of us. Allahumma ameen. During this month, be mindful. You're going to see inshallah ta'ala today and many other days so many opportunities to sacrifice the thing that Allah tested you with of wealth, to sacrifice by giving charity, the temporary thing that you're holding on to in this world. You are a caretaker. So as we see that during this month, I'm just reminding my brothers and my sisters, be mindful. Not every sadaqah is the same. Not every charity is the same. Someone could have multiple good intentions and sincerity that is so strong that there's an additional barakah, an additional blessing in the charity they give and the wealth that's left behind, that's magnified as well. The Prophet ﷺ was generous the entire year, and he was even more generous in the month of Ramadan. During this month, be present when it comes to your goals, having clarity on who you are. Take time to reflect. And as you reflect, you simply ask yourself the main three questions in terms of where you're headed. The what, the why, and the how. What is it that you want? What are your goals? What are you after? Make it clear. What does your family know about your goals? Are you on the same page? What goals do your children have as well? Why do you want to accomplish these things? The motivations. These are so important. And they help us when things get tough, when we get slow, when consistency has to kick in with self-discipline. And then the why. Or rather than the what. So as you approach this goal, you're asking yourself the clarity on it, the time, the realisticness of the goal. And then you have, inshallah ta'ala, the motivators, sometimes with the motivators, the challenges. And then you have the how, the strategy. So how am I going to accomplish this goal? Similarly, as many people set goals for school, university, work, financial freedom, if you will, as people are setting these goals, oftentimes the challenges are missing. Oftentimes the strategy is not clear. If you say, I'm going to work out 3 days a week, what exactly are you going to do? Where are you going to work out? How is it going to happen? What are the challenges that might arise? A lot of times people belittle writing down their goals. And there are countless studies that have found when people have clarity on their objectives, their destinations, their goals, and with it, the motivators and the strategy to get there, they are much more likely, sometimes 5 to 10 times, as likely to accomplish their goals than other people. And the last thing I want to share is this. Many people have expressed that the situation in Gaza has awakened their hearts, has brought them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, has caused them to be more righteous, has caused them to repent. And we say, if you feel like your heart has been awakened during this time, which is a good sign, let this be the awakening after which your heart never returns to sleep. Let this be the awakening after which the ummah never goes back to sleep. Let this be the awakening that your family never goes back to sleep spiritually, that you continue progressing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is that dhulm and injustice is always present in this world. And our goal, our perspective is to focus on the commitment to change, even if you don't live to see the result. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years and less than 100 people became Muslim. Less than 100 people accepted the message, according to Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. Does this mean he failed because of the result? No, absolutely not. It's about your commitment to the effort, your commitment to the process, your mindfulness in the moment. Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi rahimahullah liberated Palestine 1187. But there were 88 years of rule of the Crusaders, 88 years in which we can imagine there were many Muslims that came and left, that supported the cause and disappeared, that set the foundational stones, that supported when they could and how they could. But they did not live to see 1187. So if we want to see less injustice in the world, if we want to see less violence and bloodshed in the world, if we want to see less oppression in the world, we commit to the process of change and not just the result. Because if you think of the result, it might be so overwhelming, you don't take any action whatsoever. And this applies to everything in life. Commit to the process of change, and Allah will reward you based on that commitment. As you feel this awakening in Ramadan, don't allow your heart to be disconnected from the sources of awakening, from seeing what's happening, from connecting through dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aslul ibadah, the essence of worship that many times we neglect throughout the year. When you connect to the Quran, connect consistently. Every day there has to be a prescription. When you connect to dhikr, you keep your tongue busy throughout the day and night. Like the many students on campuses who tell us in between classes, they're finding this is one of the greatest and easiest acts of worship to remain consistent with. Many people at work in between their tasks, many people during their breaks, many parents and mothers as they're raising their children, keep your tongue and your heart presently connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember this, Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the darkest of situations, in layers of darkness in the ocean, in the belly of the whale, and he's making dhikr and tasbih, and he's saying, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimeen. As he's making dhikr, the scholars say, the commentary on this verse, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not been amongst al-musabbihin, those who glorify Allah, they're actively engaged in remembering him, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the end of times. They say, because Yunus alayhi salam used to make dhikr and tasbih when things were easy, when he was on land, the angels recognized his voice when he was making dhikr and tasbih in a time of hardship. And we know this from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember Allah in times of ease and you will find receptiveness, that he will remember you, that he'll protect you, accept your dua much quicker in times of hardship. And so when you think of this example, you ask yourself about the darkest of potential situations. You might be going through the most difficult thing in this world. May Allah protect us all and grant us well-being and relief and for our brothers and sisters. But because of your engagement and your connection to Allah in dhikr and Quran, when things were relatively easy, you found yourself in a place of light when things were very dark and difficult. You'll find yourself in a place of relief. You'll find a way out from situations in a manner you never expected or imagined. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza, our families and relatives in Gaza, our loved ones in Gaza from all walks of life and in many other places as well, are facing severe injustices, the likes of which we have not seen live streamed ever before. Live streamed by the very recipients of that injustice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down His swift justice and His mercy to our brothers and our sisters and His relief, and give us a share of facilitating that universal justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are grateful for what we have. We have so many blessings we cannot begin to count. But the very first step of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts in the heart and then with our actions. That, oh Allah, we praise you for the blessing of food and safety and shelter sister, and then you make so much dua for your brothers and your sisters, and with your own blessings, you do not waste. With your own blessings, you do not complain. With your own blessings, you find yourself getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Seek forgiveness from Him. He is the oft forgiving, the ever merciful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The people of Gaza and the people of Palestine in general have faced a structural injustice for 75 years. And many of us are a byproduct of that injustice. Many of us are descendants, or we ourselves have left, or our parents or grandparents were kicked out of their homes numerous times. The reality of the Ummah is that we are one. And it's not just about a specific ethnicity or specific land, although of course with regards to Palestine, it is a blessed land as we know. But our Ummah is one. And wherever we see injustice, we strive to eliminate it as much as possible. Wherever you see injustice, you make dua at the very least. Wherever you see injustice, you find yourself more grateful to Allah and saying, oh Allah, how do I redirect my anger and frustration when I see the video of a four-year-old whose body is burnt? When I see the children who are killed in the arms of their parents? When I see the mother bidding farewell to a two-month-old? When I see the children who are dying in the hospitals? When I see hospitals and masajid being bombed left and right? When I see Muslims in Palestine praying on the rubble despite the fact that they literally have no food? When I see children scraping food from the bottom of a barrel or a pot and people are waiting in line for hours, redirect that frustration or the guilt or the anger into acts of worship. Redirect it into dua. Redirect it into political advocacy. Redirect it into something impactful, multifaceted, multidimensional, and keep your heart connected to these causes. These causes do not end, our lives will end. These causes do not end, we are in need of serving them. We are in need of having that share. So that when we stand on the day of judgment and Allah asks us, what did you do with the blessing of technology that you had when you could see your brothers and your sisters dying? That, oh Allah, I did what I could. I literally did everything that I could. I tried my best. I took 10 different routes to help the cause. And we ask Allah to make us from amongst those who are always racing, looking for these opportunities to help and not waiting for the opportunities to fall into our laps. Today, brothers and sisters, we do have an opportunity, inshallah ta'ala. There's an organization here, Baytul Mal. They actually have trucks that have entered into Gaza. It took a lot of effort. It was not easy. But yes, some of the trucks have already entered, over 30 already, and several million dollars of donations have already benefited the people of Gaza. There's still a lot more work that needs to be done. As you are here, inshallah ta'ala, as we have made it to the second Jum'ah of Ramadan, please take advantage on your way out. I do not work for the organization, but wallahi, I have seen the work firsthand. And I have seen the effect of the work firsthand. And this is why our khutbah today is dedicated to this topic, but also to the cause that is here. On your way out, take advantage, inshallah ta'ala, to support our brothers and sisters, the Palestinians in this case, Lebanese, Syrian, those in that region, in Lebanon, some in Palestine as well. Take advantage on your way out to support in any way possible, hoping sincerely that your sadaqah is magnified in impact and their barakah is magnified in your own rizq, in your own health, and that we are able to testify on the Day of Judgment, oh Allah, we did what we could. We did what we could. We did what we could with the limited resources and capacity that we had. We ask Allah to make us amongst the grateful, to bring down His justice and His relief to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Sudan and East Turkestan and Yemen and Syria and every land and every place in which His name is mentioned. We ask Allah to protect our brothers and sisters in India and Pakistan and Kashmir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us wherever we are in this world and to keep our hearts united as one. And we ask Allah to allow us to be amongst those who facilitate universal justice and universal peace wherever we are. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa 'izz al-muslimin. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان، اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في فلسطين، اللهم إنهم خوفا فأمنهم، جياع فأطعمهم، مظلومون فانصرهم، محتاجون إليك يا قوي يا عزيز، اللهم داوي جرحاهم واشف مرضاهم وتقبل موتاهم يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم طهر مسجد الأقصى من أيدي الظالمين، اللهم وارزقنا فيه صلاة قبل الممات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brothers and sisters, please, on your way out, whatever you can do, inshallah ta'ala, there's a credit card machine. They have the pamphlets. These are for food, for other helpful things in terms of relief for Palestinians in the area of Palestine, in Lebanon as well, in many of the refugee camps for a long time. You have a lot of Syrians as well, a lot of Lebanese. Whatever you can do on your way out, inshallah ta'ala, take advantage. Of course, because this is going to people who are in need, it is also zakah eligible. And as we have made it to the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah rabbi ameen, we want to take advantage of everything that we can do to help our brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down his relief and make us amongst those who have a share in helping others, and make it a reason for us to have more barakah, blessings in the blessings that we have, in the family, in the wealth, and the rizq that we have as well. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, we have a very special weekend ahead of us, inshallah. This weekend, starting tomorrow, we have the MIC annual construction fundraiser, keeping our vision growing. So if you've benefited from MIC, you want to see the progress we've made, the accomplishments we've made, and what we have in store for the future, inshallah, you're going to have to be at this dinner. So, alhamdulillah, we only have a few tickets left. There's not that much, that many tickets left and many seats left. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet, it's at micmemphis.org. We have them up on the screens, the QR codes. You can get them from the Mohid kiosks as well. But inshallah, we're looking forward to seeing everybody there. There's going to be childcare provided every night this weekend, but inshallah, for the fundraiser as well, there'll be childcare available, so you can drop off your kids there and then come to the dinner, which is going to be starting at 7 p.m., inshallah, and it's $25 per ticket. And then tonight, inshallah, is also another special event, what we've been calling the Grand Qiyam, which is going to be starting at Isha and Tarawih, inshallah. And then afterwards, we're going to be having a special ceremony to open the new Grand Hall. Thanks to your support, our community support, the generous donations, alhamdulillah, we're able to open the new hall, and we're going to ask everybody to come into the hall after Tarawih, inshallah, so that we can celebrate that accomplishment. And then from 12:30 until 4:30 is going to be Qiyam and reflections with our different mashayikh, and then we're going to have suhoor at 4:30, and then inshallah we'll end the night at Fajr inshallah around 6 a.m. But we're looking forward to seeing everybody there. Make MIC your home for the next two nights inshallah the rest of Ramadan. Jazakallah khair.